Good morning, Northwest Baptist Church. So very, very good to be here with you today. And thank you especially for coming out on this rainy day. I know that's not always easy, but it is great to be together. Every year at commencement, people think about gifts to give to graduates, and some people will be graduating this December. A lot of people will be graduating next May and June. Books are often a popular choice. And one book in particular seems to stand out, at least from what I've seen through the years. And ironically, when somebody's graduating from kindergarten, which seems to be this great big graduation deal now, I don't know why, or college or grad school, it seems like it's often the same book that is given out. And I'll read a little bit of it to you today and see if you can guess the author. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along, you'll start happening too. All the places you'll go, you'll be up on your way. You'll be seeing great sights, you'll join high flyers who soar to great heights. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. Kid, you'll move mountains, so be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Ale, Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places, today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. Anybody know the author of that? Doc, boy, a literate crowd here, that's wonderful. Because that's exactly right, it's Dr. Seuss. And it's a little embarrassing, but I have to tell you that I really, really like Dr. Seuss. I like his books. I like to read them. The only problem is that when I read Dr. Seuss, I start to talk like Dr. Seuss. And I mentioned this book because we're now in this series. It's called From Here to There. Take this adventure if you dare. But we looked a couple of weeks ago. We're in this series that involves three dimensions. How do you get from here to there? There's three dimensions. And the first dimension we looked at 2 weeks ago, and that's the dimension of up. And we talked about how up is all about having a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. How up is really what the Bible calls worship, and how that's something that we do not just on Sunday mornings, but we try to do life, all of life, together with Jesus. And in our church goal, we try to capture that with the biblical word of worship. And then last week, we talked about the second dimension of how to get from here to there, and that's the dimension of in. And in is all about being in authentic community with each other, knowing each other, loving each other, not hiding, no pretense, just being real with each other and loving each other. And we capture that in our church goal with that word grow. And this week, we're looking at the fact that we can't stay in, that we have to get out. So our church goal is worship, grow, and what's the third one? Serve. All right, worship, grow, serve. And that's what out is all about. It's how we take all that God has given us and how we go out with that. So let's begin by looking at today's central text, which is in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, beginning with verse 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." Let's pray. Father, we continue to come before you this day, and God, as we do on this day that you've made, God, we're so grateful to you, Father, for all that you give us. Father, you bless us often in ways in which we're not even fully aware. God, we thank you that you've allowed us this time to come to your house and to gather as your people and to sing praises to you and to pour out our heart and our soul and our minds to you. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to be poured out. And Father, we know that that we are truly called, Father, to worship you and to live in that dimension of up and to be with you all the time and to do life together with you. And Father, we know that we're also called to that dimension of in. Father, that small groups were your idea, that you created us to be with each other. and Father, to truly care for one another, and Father, to be transparent with one another so that we can grow and so that we can grow closer to you and be molded into the image of your Son. And Father, we thank you too for this third dimension of out. Father, the dimension of serving, of Father, of taking all the blessings that you've given us, and Father, not keeping those just for ourselves, but Father, to take those blessings so that we can be a blessing to others. And God, wherever we are in our walk with you today, God, we would ask that your Holy Spirit would show each one of us what next steps we can take, Father, God, to do your kingdom work, to be your agents. God, we wait on you. We pray that you would speak. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray this. Amen. So this text out of Genesis 12, what this points to is really pretty straightforward here. It basically points to two words. And these two words actually reflect two commands in the Bible that God gave to Abraham. They're actually two imperatives. They're two commands way back when God launched this whole mission that we're still now part of. God came to Abraham one day out of the blue. Abraham didn't expect this. Abraham had not done anything at all to deserve this. And all of a sudden, he essentially hears, congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. And Abraham said, what places? And how will I know when I get there? Can I have a map? And God said, no. That would take all the adventure and all the fun and all the faith out of it. So God's first command is, go. Go to the place that I will show you. And go means that you're going to have to trust me, Abraham. Go means you're going to have to leave all the things that make you comfortable, where things are familiar, where things are known to you. And because my project, which by the way, Abraham, is going to begin with you, because my project, Abraham, involves the whole world, I'm concerned for all of humanity. All nations on earth will be blessed through you. Can you imagine how that must have sounded to Abraham? I mean, here he is, and essentially, out of the blue is the picture the Bible paints. And God comes to him and says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And not just to bless those in your immediate community, but says, all nations of the entire earth are going to be blessed through you. God says, so Abraham, you can't stay here. You have to go there. You can't stay in. You have to go out. I want you to go. But then God gives Abraham one more command. And it's all contained in that word, bless. So there are basically two commands here, two imperatives that God gives to Abraham. One of them is go, and the other one is bless. God says to Abraham, I will bless you, but that blessing is not just for you. It's not just for you to keep. It's also for you to give out. You are blessed in order to be a blessing. Very straightforward here, just two things. Go, bless. And I want to make sure that we all remember that. And that we're all on the same page here as we get going. So let's just say those two words together out loud, if you don't mind. Go, bless. All right. So that's the whole deal. It's the whole deal, but it's on a scale that is just difficult to really imagine. God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. And this will become a foundational text for the people of Israel, a central text for God's people. And just to get a little glimpse of this, I'd like to take a look with you at a few more verses and see if you can detect a theme that's running all through the book of Genesis. Okay? In Genesis 18, verse 18, God says, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. Genesis 22, verse 18, it says, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Genesis 26, verse 4, it says, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Genesis 28, verse 14, it says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. When God keeps saying things over and over and over, he really wants us to get it. And this was what the people of Israel were all about. They kept coming to this theme again and again. And this is the mission statement, as we would say in our day, for the man, Abraham. And this is the mission statement, as we would say in our day, for the people, Israel. And this is the mission statement for you and for me that God gives us. Your mission that God gives you is go bless. And the truth is, that's why you're on this planet. That's why God allowed you to be born. That's why you wake up every morning, is to go bless. So what does that mean? What does it mean to go bless? To bless means to add life, to enhance life, to give life, to make life abundant. And blessing is central to what God does. The first time we see bless in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 1. The writer says, God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems. And then it says, and God blessed them. God said to the fish, be fruitful and increase in number. I want lots of you. And fill the water and the seas. When I look at the water God conveys, I want to see fish everywhere. And I love this picture in Scripture of God blessing the fish. How many fish did God make? Many, many fish. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Not one of them is exactly like the other. I don't know why. Go ask your mother. He made so many things, I guess, so that he could have some things to bless. And that's why there are so many things. Because God wants to bless. And that means that he wants to have things to be able to bless. That's his project. And that's called the mission of God. And there's this great phrase that originated, the original phrase is a Latin phrase, actually. It's the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And we talk a lot about mission statements in our culture today, and we use them frequently. But the idea of a mission statement goes way back, before corporations, before cities, before even human organizations. Mission began with God. God has a mission. And that's why he made for himself a people. But his mission came before people. His mission came before Scripture. He gave his mission a Bible. He gave his mission a people. But God's mission, God's project, what it's all about is to bless. And then he creates human beings, and God blesses them. And God says to these human beings, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and for the birds in the air and for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. God makes stuff and then he blesses it. And then God makes human beings and he blesses them. But here's the key. Because we, unique out of all God's creation, because we as human beings alone are made in God's image, God says that human beings are not just to be blessed, they're also to be a blessing to the earth. Human beings, unique among God's creation, are blessed to be a blessing. There is a mission. Whose mission is it? It's God's mission. What's the mission? To bless, just to bless. Where should you do it? Wherever you go. When should you do it? Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. And people will say, and I hear this frequently, people will say, but hey, I'm not trained. I'm not skilled. I'm not strong in that area. I don't know how. I'm not articulate about my faith. I don't really know how to talk about Jesus. I don't have the resources. But really, it's as simple as Dr. Seuss. Go bless. And it's not optional. It's why you were made. And if you don't do that, if you don't go and bless as God has commanded, if you don't do that, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how high that you may climb up the ladder. If you don't go and bless, then you have missed the reason that God has put you on this earth. It's that important. If we don't follow Jesus in this, if we don't follow God's command, that we have missed our reason for existence. But the great news is that you can do this. We can all do this, and we can do it anywhere. About a year ago, there was a story that was run on media across the country. And it's the true story about a bus driver in San Francisco named Linda Wilson Allen. And this article talks about how she loves the people who ride on her bus. She knows the regulars. She learns their names. And she'll wait for them if they're running late. She will just wait, and then she'll make up the time as her route continues. A woman in her 80s named Elsie had some heavy grocery bags one day. She was obviously struggling with them. Wilson Allen got out of the driver's seat, and she got out of the bus in order to help Elsie carry her grocery bags back onto the bus. Now Elsie lets the other buses go right on past her stop so that she can ride on Wilson Allen's bus. Wilson Allen saw a woman named Tanya in a bus shelter, and she could tell that Tanya was a stranger. She could tell that she was lost. It was almost Thanksgiving. So Wilson Allen said to Tanya, "You're out here all by yourself. You don't know anybody. Why don't you come on over for Thanksgiving and just kick back with me and the kids?" And now they're friends. The reporter who wrote this article, he rides on her bus every day. And he said that Wilson Allen has built such a little community of blessing on that bus that the passengers on that bus offer Wilson Allen the use of their vacation homes. They bring her potted plants and floral bouquets. And when people found out that she likes to wear scarves in order to kind of accessorize her uniform, they started giving them as presents to Wilson Allen. One passenger upgraded her gift to a rabbit fur collar. It's not a passenger who works for PETA. And the article says that Wilson Allen may be the most beloved bus driver since Ralph Cramden of the Honeymooners. Anybody here remember Ralph Cramden? All right. And when you think about what a thankless task being a bus driver is. Cranky passengers, engine breakdowns, traffic jams, gum on the seats. You have to ask yourself, how does she have that kind of attitude? I'll tell you how, and this is in the article. Her mood is set at 2:30 a.m. when she gets down on her knees to pray for 30 minutes every day. "There's a lot to talk about with the Lord," says Wilson Allen. And when she gets to the end of her line, she will always say, "That's all. I love you. Take care." Have you ever had a bus driver tell you that "I love you"? People wonder, where can I find the kingdom of God? I'll tell you one place you can find it. You can find it on the number 45 bus riding through San Francisco. People wonder, where can I find the church? I'll tell you one place you can find it. Behind the wheel of a metro bus in San Francisco. Oh, the places you'll go. You know, according to the Bible, if you've been blessed, you were called to be a blessing, and you can do this. And reading that account about Wilson Allen, I've been thinking, why can't I do more of that? Why can't you do more of that? Why can't we as a church do more of that, wherever God puts us? And what would happen to the neighborhoods around this church if all of us who follow Jesus lived our daily lives the way that Jesus would live our daily lives if he was in our place? Whether that's sitting behind a desk, driving a truck, teaching children, or whatever that might be. What would happen, put your minds there if you will, if Jesus had your life? What would happen if we lived our lives wherever we find ourselves the way that Jesus would live our lives? And you know what? That is God's plan. That's the mission of God. That's the Missio Dei. And if you've been blessed, you've been called to be a blessing. So the next obvious question is, have you been blessed? And in light of this, I thought it'd be good for us today to do a little blessing inventory. There's an old hymn called "Count Your Blessings." It starts off, "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, And I don't care how much you beg me, how much you plead. We sang that hymn in the first service, but we're not going to sing it here in this service today. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to count our blessings. So if everybody, if you have one, if you get out a pen or a pencil and maybe find a piece of paper to write on. If you don't have a pen or a pencil, you can definitely do this in your head. But we're actually today, we're going to take some time to count our blessings. Because if you do this, it can change your approach to life. It can change your attitude. It can change your sense of gratitude towards God. Just after the first service, a lady stopped by, and a member in our church, she said, you know what? That's so real for me. She said, almost every night I have trouble going to sleep, and I've tried everything. But then she said, I started this practice of counting my blessings, and it puts me right to sleep. I can relax. The truth is, though, we just forget to do this sometimes, I think. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to count our blessings. And the first category, category number one, is finances. If God has blessed you financially. And one of the problems that most rich people have is that they don't know that they're rich. And most of the problems that we have in our society and in this country are really rich people problems. That a majority of the people on this planet, they would love to have our problems. Like bad cell phone coverage, right? Does anybody ever complain about bad cell phone coverage? I do. Do you understand that that is a rich person's problem? Or I can't decide where to go on vacation. That's a rich person problem. Or man, my computer crashed. That's a rich person problem. Or I'm having car trouble, or my flight has been delayed. Those are all rich people problems. Many people would love to have those kinds of problems. So if God has blessed you financially, that's one blessing. Number two, education. Has God blessed you educationally? And remember that throughout history, in most centuries, a vast majority of the human race has been illiterate. They could not read, they could not write. Has God blessed you educationally? Number three, having a home or an apartment or a place to live. Some people don't. Do you have one? Number four, friends. Do you have a friend? Is there anybody who loves you? Has God blessed you with friends? Number five, a spiritual gift. The Bible promises that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, guarantee the Holy Spirit enters you and you have at least one spiritual gift that is given to you so that you can bless other people. That's a blessing. Number six, transportation. Does anybody here have a car or a bicycle or enough money to take the bus? If you do, then God has blessed you with transportation. Number seven, the forgiveness of sin. I don't have to stand worried about my status before a holy, perfect God. My sins are completely forgiven by grace. I stand in God's eyes, white as snow, not because of anything that I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Number eight, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I never have to be alone. I can have God's guidance and God's wisdom. Those are all blessings. Those are just some ideas to kind of jog our memory. Those are eight categories. And just a show of hands here, just in order to say thank you to God, how many of you here today would say, I've been blessed by at least four of those blessings. I've been blessed by at least half of those blessings. Praise God. And if you have been blessed, and I think I saw just about every hand raised, and you say that you've been blessed, it is so that you can be a blessing. We are to be a blessing wherever we go. But we're talking today about out. We're talking today about going out. And there are a couple places in particular where we ought to be very intentional about going. And we learn about this from Scripture. We learn about this especially from Jesus. A couple of places where we ought to be very intentional about going out. And there are at least two places where Jesus goes to bless. Because he was aware of those two places, if we're his followers, we ought to really be aware of these two places. The first area that we learn about from Jesus is at the very beginning of his ministry, when he announces in Luke that his ministry has begun. He quotes a prophet and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." The poor is what Jesus says. To people without, to people who have not, to people just eking by on the margins, to people who are thought to be the unblessed, to those who are thought to be the financial losers. Jesus was constantly seeing the poor, remembering the poor, championing the poor, serving the poor, giving to the poor, blessing the poor, loving the poor. And as we talked about last week, our world is not okay. And if we follow Jesus, then we cannot say everything is okay. You have been blessed to be a blessing. And this is not optional. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is not something where we get a choice. This is not something about which God is kind of neutral. We do not live in a world where it would be kind of nice if you decided with a little bit of your extra to maybe bless somebody every now and then. It's not that way. And I know that being a blessing to others is something that many of you here are doing. And it is awesome to see. And we see it all the time. And God has blessed this church. And many of you, you do this constantly. You love going out. And we want this, though, for everybody. We want this for everybody who's a follower of Jesus. Maybe you could go serve together as a small group. It's one of the main ways that we serve here. We encourage all of our small groups just to go together as a team. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate, but you can go and you can serve. But I want to say this. When it comes to out, we will not be a great church if we're not great in the lives of those who are most vulnerable in the neighborhoods right around this church that we have been blessed to be a blessing to. We will simply not be a great church. God wants us to be, but we will not be if we are not great in the eyes and in the lives of the most vulnerable people that we have been so blessed to be a blessing to. And Jesus said, if you want to be great, then be a servant. And the greatest of all, Jesus says, is the greatest servant of all. Because you have been blessed to be a blessing. We have been blessed. We just acknowledge this. And because of that, we go. We go to the margins. We go to where there is need. We go to the under-resourced and we just ask, could we be a blessing? And I want to say something just sort of parenthetically here because I hear this from time to time. And I think sometimes even as believers, we try to kind of parse who the poor are. Anybody ever heard something like that? We kind of try to figure out, you know, who's poor and deserves my help, deserve God's help, and who's poor because they just made some bad decisions and they deserve to be there. And so I'm going to help these poor, but not these poor. We do a little poor analysis. Who really deserves it? Who's made some bad decisions? Well, they put themselves there. As you look at Jesus' ministry, does Jesus ever do that? Does Jesus ever go and say, well, let me first kind of do a little analysis and see if you've made some bad decisions, and if you haven't, then I'll help you. No. And think about your salvation. Does Jesus come to you and say, oh, you made some bad choices? I guess I can't pour out my grace for you. No, Jesus comes to everybody. Have we made bad choices? You bet. Does he still give us his grace? Absolutely. Have a bunch of poor people made a bunch of really dumb choices? Absolutely. Does that mean that we don't go and serve them and love them and go out to them? Jesus says, go and serve. We see an example in Christ of somebody who does not do all this analysis. He just loves. All right, end of parenthetical comment. Thank you. Secondly, then there's Jesus gives another go. There's another go in Jesus' life. Jesus says again at the very beginning of his ministry, he says, I've come not to call the righteous, but to call sinners. Jesus was constantly going to be with people who were considered to be far away from God, who were thought to be the spiritual rejects, the spiritual losers, the spiritually excluded, the spiritual outsiders. And Jesus didn't just go to see them. Jesus ate with them, and he talked with them. And you get go through the Gospels, and it becomes very clear that he liked being around them. He touched them, and he included them, and he healed them, and he blessed them. And they received forgiveness of their sins through Jesus. And they entered into a relationship with a transcendent, holy God through Jesus. They were given power to live. They were given a purpose for their lives. And they were given a hope beyond death through Jesus. Because only Jesus can do all of this. And what God started with Abraham, God brought to completion, God brought to fulfillment through Jesus. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul wrote, the scripture foresaw. The scriptures foresaw, he's basically indicating that this is God's great narrative. It's all one great narrative. This is God's story, and it's connected, and you can be a part of it. This scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, just as he justified Israel by faith, and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations, all people, everybody, everywhere will be blessed through you. And the greatest blessing that we have to share with anybody is that they can be a friend of Jesus Christ. The greatest blessing that any of us have to share with anybody is that they can experience salvation and be made whole and be redeemed and be forgiven of their sins through what Jesus did on the cross. That is the greatest blessing you could share with anybody in this world. They can have Jesus. And then we do with them what Jesus would do with them. And I have to ask you, are you doing that? Are you going to people who are far from God? Do you care about them? Do you have a heart for them? I don't mean just for them in general. But this, think about this past week. This past week, do you have one person that you know does not have Jesus? You have one person that just this past week, I'm praying for that person. I'm praying that they would know Jesus as Savior. And I'm asking, God, would you use me? Would you speak through me, work through me to share Christ with that person? Are you asking, God, use me? And I'm telling you, there is nothing that comes close to being a part of somebody's spiritual journey. Somebody's journey from here to there, to Jesus. It's the most exciting part, I would say, certainly of being a pastor, but it's not limited to being a pastor. Any Christian can experience this. One of the most exciting aspects of being a Christian is you meet somebody who they don't know Jesus, and they have all that comes with that. They have that lack of peace. They have that unsettledness. They have that emptiness. And you say, God, would you, in your mercy, would you work through me to share Christ with them? And God works through you, and he works through others. And that person comes to Christ. And then they grow in Christ. And you see their joy increase. And you see their peace increase. Not that everything's perfect, but you see a life transformed, and you got to be a part of that. That is awesome. And that can be yours if you'll go to God and say, God can and will use anybody to do that, any believer. If you'll go to him and say, God, I want that joy. Would you work through me to share Jesus with that person who does not yet know him? And we want to be a church where that is happening all the time. So would you pray, or would you continue to pray for at least one person who does not yet know God to come to faith in Jesus? And then ask God, say, God, would you make me a part of that? Blessed to be a blessing. So we're learning about up. We've been learning about that. What does it look like to live with Jesus all the time? What does it look like to do life together with Jesus? And we're learning about in. What does it look like to be a real community where there's no pretending, where there's no hiding? And absolutely anybody from any background, from any socioeconomic class, anything, could just come into this church and be welcomed and loved and be a part of this church family. But we can't stay in. We have to go out, and we have to go out for a really good reason. Jesus called his disciples together one last time. They've been with him for 3 years as his disciples, and disciple means radical student, radical follower. He'd been crucified and resurrected, so now this is his graduation. But of course, it's really commencement. It's commencing something. Jesus is going to tell them, here's why we've been doing this these 3 years. It's not so that you can all stay in some comfortable, cozy little place. Jesus says to them, he says, go, bless. Jesus says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's all tied together, the promise from way back there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always. And that is the greatest blessing. I will be with you always to the close of the age. Go to that land that I show you, to that place that I show you, and make disciples of all nations. That command, way back to Abraham, now it's coming to you wherever you find yourself, in your neighborhood, in your home, at your job, at your school. Make disciples of every nation, be their name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Ale Van Allen O'Shea. At last, after all these many years, after Abraham, all the nations will be blessed. And all alone is the only thing you will never be, because wherever you go, you will go there with me. Jesus says, you'll move mountains. And Dr. Seuss did not come up with this idea of moving mountains. Jesus did. In Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus says, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will say to this mountain, mountain, be moved, and it will move. And then Jesus basically conveys to all his students, to all his graduates, oh, the places you'll go. You'll travel the world. You'll stand before kings. You'll have hardly any money at all. And you'll be outrageously joyful. You'll be locked up in prison, and you'll sing songs. You'll be beaten for your faith and count yourself honored to have suffered for the name. And you will trust me down to the absolute core of your being. And then Jesus invited them to go, as Jesus invites us still, as he invites you and you and you and you. Because this is his journey. This is his mission. Because one day before all of eternity, the Father called the Son and said, Son, you're going to leave heaven and you're going to go down to earth. And you will go to a manger. And you're going to go to Egypt as a runaway fugitive who's in great danger. And you're going to go to banquets that no rabbi would ever dream of going to. You're going to go to banquets where there's going to be tax collectors and prostitutes there. And you're going to go to houses where they will make a hole in the roof just to get down because they'll be so excited to see you. And you're going to go to where the lepers are. And you're going to go to the crippled. And you're going to go to the blind. And you're going to go to the sin-soaked. And you're going to go to the hopeless. And then one day, you're going to go to a cross. And you're going to get nailed to it. And you're going to die for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. And then you're going to go to the tomb. But then death is going to find out that it cannot hold you, that it cannot stop you, and you're going to be released. And then it'll really begin. Then you will go to prison cells and hospital rooms and broken homes and broken hearts. And you're going to go bring joy to the world as far as the curse is found. Oh, the places you'll go. The places you'll go. So we can't stay in. We have to go out. We have to go out because of what Jesus started and what he continued with Pentecost when he poured out the Spirit. It wasn't so that we could stay in. It was so that we could be in and grow and worship, but then go out and serve. You follow Jesus relentlessly. You bless people shamelessly. You face death fearlessly. Because one day, Jesus is coming back. And God's great mission to bless God's great creation will move into its next phase. That is, its post-sin phase. That is, its post-death phase. That is, its post-curse phase. And if you like any part of being alive right now, you will not want to miss the next part, the eternal part, that will go on forever, in which every day will be better than the day that came before. Because God, our God, just blesses and blesses and blesses. But in heaven, we're going to know blessing, like the Bible says, greater than our imagination. But in between now and then, in between this day and that day when he comes back, in between, oh, if you'll let him, oh, the places you'll go, the places you'll go.